Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you. We're glad you're here. Today we wrap up our Made to Worship series. Over the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about worship. And worship is one of those words in Christianity that often we think of one specific thing when someone says this word, worship. But what we've been discovering over the past number of weeks is that worship is more than simply singing. Worship is more than simply coming together like this. There's a lot to it. And so we've attempted to understand worship so that we can be drawn into a deeper place of worship with God. So we began with asking, what is worship? Understanding that worship is the affection, the adoration, the devotion we give something that we deem worthy of it. And so we all worship something. Everybody worships something. Even if you're not religious, you worship something. And then we asked, who do we worship? And so Doug walked us through who is this God that we worship, that Christians worship, and discovered that this is a creator God. This is a loving Father who's made us in his image, and we are to relate to him. This is not a religion, it's a relationship, and this is who we worship. And then last week, Joel walked us through how we worship, and we talked specifically about what corporate worship looks like. When we come together as the family, why do we do the things that we do? And how do we engage in worship, corporate worship together to experience God, to pour out our praise to him, but also to be united as a family? So why do we give? Why do we lift hands? Why do we sing? Why do we share food together? Why do we listen to teaching? Why are these things important? Joel did a great job walking us through that last week. And so today what we want to do is close by asking that question again, how do we worship, but in a broader way. We've talked about the fact that worship is more than singing, that we worship God through our lives. So how do we worship God through our lives? We thought it'd be great to have a few people in our community share how they worship God through their lives. And so we've got three people this morning. They're going to share their story with us, and Doug and I are going to ask them some questions, and you're going to get a glimpse into their lives. And they're going to be the first to tell you that they haven't got it all sorted out, and they're not perfect Christians in any way, but we think that they are walking in worship, and I hope that you're encouraged by that this morning. So we want to begin by welcoming Jen on up here. So let's say hi to Jen. Jen's going to come on up. Right on. Welcome, Jen. So Jen's been a part of our church for 4 or 5 years about in there right now, and you are a teacher of grade three. So yeah. Could tell us a bit about your life other than that.
So I grew up on Vancouver Island, and then I moved out here to come to school, and I became a teacher. And then I was able to get work, so I stayed. So I've been teaching, just finished my fourth year, and I love teaching. It's something I'm super passionate about. Ever since I was yay high, I always was teaching my stuffed animals and forcing my friends to be my students. So it was. So now that I actually get a class list with names on it that I didn't have to make up, it's really exciting every year. So I also just really love people. I love being with my family and friends and just having conversations and cups of tea. And so people, being with people is a huge part of my life. And teaching is also really a huge part of it. It's nice to have a chunk of time off in the summer to kind of be with family and friends that I don't always get to see during the year. And yeah, I also like doing things by myself too, like reading and drinking tea and just going for walks. So a little mix of everything.
Right on. I always love chatting with Jen. You know when you go to Vancouver Island, you're like, oh, island time. Aww. You know that feeling? When you have a conversation with Jen, you're like, oh, island time.
That's nice.
You could bring a little bit of Vancouver Island to her. Good. This kid. So we're talking about how worship is about giving God attention and affection and devotion through our whole lives. How do you do that with where you spend your time?
Yeah. I think with teaching, come to realize that how I am affects those little lives that I'm with all the time. And even with staff members as well. But with those little kids, it's a huge part of my day and how my heart is focused really affects them. And so often when I'm heading to work, I'm not the best at getting up early. So doing devotions in the morning is a little bit tricky for me. So I take my time, you know, when I'm getting ready or driving to work, to really use that time to set my heart right. And making sure that my heart is in a good place for when those kids come into the door. And sometimes that means that I get to work early and I can put on praise music and kind of just like, just be and calm down and kind of be in a right mind for when they come in. And that means like it affects how I talk with my colleagues, with parents as well, and just making sure that my heart is in the right place. Can you answer
that question? Yeah, that's a good start. So you're in the public system.
Yes.
Right? And you know, that can be hurried in the mornings, as you said, but having that moment with God and just going, okay, what am I here for? That's important.
Yeah.
So what do you think you're there for? Why do you think you're in the classroom with those kids? What do you hope to achieve when you're with them?
Yeah. When I graduated, it was, I had thought a lot about teaching in a Christian school versus a public system. And for me, my heart was just totally in the public system because I want to be a person who represents Christ to these kids. And I don't always get that opportunity to speak so clearly. And I don't get to say, like, look how we see Jesus in creation. Or I don't get to talk and pray about things when things go wrong. But my hope is that when I'm interacting with those little lives and their families, and I'm not shy to say, like, when they ask me what I did on the weekend, like, I'll totally say, oh, I went to church or I did this. So I think those families that ask those questions, they know. And so I know that I'm a representation of Christ and what he stands for. And so when I'm spending my day with those kids, I want them to see reflection of who Christ is, whether that's through love or showing patience and kindness and reflecting that to them so they get to experience it, whether or not they know that it's because of Christ, but being that representation to them whatever way I can. And it's always amazing to me, and for those of you that are teachers, you probably know this too, it's amazing to me what parents are willing to share when you have time to have conversations with them. And some of them are going through the most difficult things, and so those little kids are facing really difficult times, and so getting to be a consistent person in their lives and getting to speak, you know, hope and truth in whatever way I can to the parents and to the kids is really a great opportunity for me to show worship and to show love to them.
How do you think how you're worshiping God is affecting the kids on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
You've seen some pretty cool things.
Yeah, I have. I think when I haven't taken that time to put my eyes on the Lord, my day is completely different. So if I haven't taken the time to put my heart in a good place, I can completely miss so many things that are just go by, and I'm not aware of what God is doing, and I miss opportunities that I can speak good things into those lives. Whereas versus a day where my heart is in a good place and I'm excited to see what God is doing, and I don't believe in coincidences. So even in my friendships with my own friends and family, or you run into somebody on the street, like, I don't believe that those are just random things. I think that God ordains all of those things. So even in my classroom, like, those random conversations that come up, you know, when a kid, sometimes they talk about the most random things, but you'll hear them talk about God, be like, oh, do you believe in God? Or, yeah, there's just little conversations that it's like, okay, I need to really be aware and be thankful for these moments that come. And in our classroom this year, we did superhero sightings. And they were disguised as the fruits of the Spirit. And so they would come in.
So sorry, you did something called superhero sightings?
Superhero sightings.
But you were disguising the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Right, yes.
Explain this to us.
So we would go through the fruits of the Spirit as love. And we talk about how do you see love in your life and how do you show it, and go up on the wall. And then after we kind of talked about all of them, they would take a sticky note. And they could never say they were a superhero themselves, but they had to see it in somebody else. And so if they saw their friend helping somebody pick up a pencil, or they tripped and somebody got help, they would write, I saw so-and-so show kindness by doing this, or I saw so-and-so showing peace by doing this. And it was cool by the end of the year, like we would take them off and be like, oh, this is great, we saw so-and-so do this, and kind of celebrate. And near the end, as I was cleaning up the classroom, they all just like went away. I'd have a couple of kids come up and be like, oh, I had another superhero sighting, can I have a sticky note? And I was like, oh, like it's all gone now. But but it was like being like, great, keep it up. And so it was cool to hear them start using that language, but also seeing that those are qualities and instilling those values in those kids, that those are things that are important, that those are the things that you want to be known for. And especially with girls, this is a little side note, we know girls can be really difficult and really catty. And so And it's really sad to see it in young girls at a young age. And so really, you know, me trying to share my story of what it was like when I was little and also being like, these are the things you want to be known for. And we kind of talked a lot that one person can change everything. And so reminding them that you are a game changer, you can be a superhero and one person can completely change. So I think trying to instill like my hope for them when I can't necessarily speak Christ to them in those ways is...
So how do you feel, this is the last question, because you're giving us a lot of good stuff. How do you feel God is drawing you into a deeper sense of worship to him?
Yeah, I think, you know, being reminded that, you know, God is in everything. And so looking for opportunities where I can, you know, recognize him and show my thankfulness and my gratitude to him, whether that's in conversations that I have with parents and even opportunities like this. This is not something that, like, it's hard for me to come up and be vulnerable. And I was saying earlier too that I love having conversations with people where I can ask lots of questions, because then rarely it comes turned back on me, so I don't have to talk as much. As you can tell, I can talk a lot though when I...
Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great.
But being given opportunities to be vulnerable and to have opportunities like this to come up and share and speak and recognizing that God is doing something in me and it is purposeful to share. And so, yeah, I think just being open and aware to whatever ways I can do that and giving God the glory for the things that he's doing is a way that I can keep showing that.
Worshiping God through vulnerability. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's real. Thank you, Jen. Let's say thanks to Jen. You did a great job.
Thanks, Luke. Thank you, Jen. Awesome. Well, Tim has joined us this morning, and welcome here, Tim. Let's give a welcome to Tim, everybody. So, Tim, you and Carol have been attending Living Waters for about 5 years or so. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, that kind of thing.
Well, Tim Rassler is my name, lovely wife, Carol, and we've raised three beautiful daughters together. I didn't say the amen there. That wasn't my amen. and that doesn't go away. You continue to raise daughters, and I'm very pleased to do that. I spend a lot of my time in the building industry. I've grown up in the Fraser Valley. I've lived here. Carol has, too, for a long time. And it's brought me into construction. Buildings have always been in our family. I've homes, apartments. I've even supervised a dollhouse, so that's good. So being here, that's where I spend a lot of my time on the phone with in front of people a lot of the time, not this many, but yeah, giving instructions, a lot of instructions.
You've been doing that for a lot of years now.
Yeah, a lot of years.
A lot of years. Mm-hmm. So, Tim, tell us a little bit about worship for you in terms of how your day looks. What does worship, what's the context of worship for you?
Again, as Jen said, for me, it's to get my heart in the right area in the morning. And that's not always easy. I don't always get up and like, yeah, Lord, I need all these words to speak today, and I got to be paying attention. It's not. Sometimes I get up and I head off to work and I go to work. A lot of the times I try to squeak out and ask the Lord to give me the strength to ask for the wisdom of the day, because I won't ask on myself. So if I can say, God, what can I do for you today? He will show me what's the words I'm going to speak, my attitude, and just kind of how to live my life in front of the people I'm working with.
So the construction industry, it's a big industry and lots of different people there, all types. So probably some challenges for
you?
Yeah,
there's a lot of challenge. In that industry, I deal with a lot of people, a lot of younger generation guys. They use big words. The big words, those kind of words. Okay. And so it is a real challenge for me to live my life and don't come across as that's what it is. I'm on a job now. There's about 40 guys on site, and coming into the job, just how I handle myself has changed those big words into small words because of how I handle myself. That's nothing I say. It's the Holy Spirit that directs me in that area and how I can speak to Him, how I have opportunity to talk to Him.
So the people on the job site see you then, I think, as a man of worship. Mm-hmm. They may not call you that, no. But that's what you are.
Yeah.
So tell me about the influence that you would have then, you think, on some of these folks.
The influence comes to me through preparing myself. I think sometimes when I'm prepared and aware, a lot of things happen on the job site that I have to take time out when a person comes to me and just says, they out of nowhere, they'll just say, you know, how did Noah get those animals on the ark? I don't know. But it gives me an opportunity to tell them, and they know that there's something different in me. And I think that opportunity to share with them, it gives them an opportunity to wonder what they believe in. And the day goes on, and definitely I have a real opportunity. I get some great questions and opportunity to speak in that industry, and it's really good. I think I mentioned earlier, Luke had at the start said the Holy Spirit in us is something that leads us into all truth, and I think planting a seed, I like to feel I can get the Holy Spirit out. I got to share Him with somebody else. I think that's part of our worship, to get Him out there and to lead other people into all truth also. They're not in truth right now.
So as we're listening, we're learning that worship is not just about what we did earlier, and that's the singing and, mm-hmm. and so on, but worship takes a tangible form. And so tell me a little bit about your thoughts. Joel spoke last week. He had a good word.
Mm-hmm. He spoke on, it was really good to hear him, that my call is my opportunity to speak to people. And he said, you know what, whatever that call is, asking the Lord, what that call is in your life is to either get the Holy Spirit out, to stack chairs, to minister, to say hi, I got the bus station, a person, but pay attention that the Lord asks you to do. And I think he said, you know, even the smallest little bit of worship, whatever it is, he'll take. And I think we all need to know that, you know, I plant seeds, I don't finish the job, other people probably do, and I think if we talk to people and when we share, when we're aligned with Jesus, he'll take that.
So whole life worship then is obviously getting our heart right before the Lord and worshiping Him that way, but there's also that practical element of loving others, which is worship, and you're doing that well on the job site. Mm-hmm. Tell me this, Tim, you've been around the block, so how do you navigate through time?
I have.
He has been. Yeah, around the. I keep on coming up with these old terms and people laugh at me. I don't understand.
I understand
it's me, Tim, not you.
No, I understand.
Just so you know. You've been around for a while. It's not helping, is it? Tell me how you navigate the difficulties that we face sometimes with worship and getting our heart to that place. Because honestly, you know, some mornings we wake up and we're not there, and praying is hard, reading the Bible seems impossible, and even having a heart of worship seems like a distant dream. How do you deal with that?
I think about myself and how selfish I can be, first of all. And I think it's something that's just true in all of our lives, that it's not automatic at all. We do want to do our own thing. We want to be selfish. I think I see some of the fruits of what I've done as far as speaking to people, and I know that end result. And there's times that I don't want to do it. I don't want to align my heart with Jesus, and I know Satan comes steal and destroy. I call it the scourge. He definitely discourages us, and we take some time out sometimes where we don't want to align ourselves with what's supposed to happen. But I think we know the outcome. And it's just those times that God, he comes, you know, he comes back after us, and he nudges us, you know, to get back up, get emails from you to speak up here, get encouraged, and get going again, stuff like that. So then that it keeps you on your toes, and sharing with people that keeps you on your toes to what really you believe, and how deep you can go with God, and the desire I have to worship Him.
Right on. Tim, you are a man of worship, and so thanks very much for sharing today. Let's hear it for Tim, everybody. I'm going to ask Brandy to come on up. Brandy is going to share with us as well. If you don't know Brandy, you should. Brandy is a great young woman of God, and we've known Brandy for how many years have you and Joel been a part of Living Waters now?
Yeah, I think Joel and I have been coming here for 9 or 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your context and your season of life and how that sort of relates.
So Joel and I have 4 kids. So I spend most of my days with them and their friends and sometimes their parents. Yeah. That's it.
It's a season of life for sure. I think this is kind of interesting because, you know, if you know Brandy, you know that she's a worship leader as well. She's led worship in the context of singing and so on, and so has definitely a heart to worship. But the season of life you're in is a wonderful season of life, but can be perceived as having some constraints because there's only certain things you can do. So how do you kind of work through the worship piece there? How does that look for you?
Well, I don't get big chunks of time to read the Bible or to sit and listen to music the same way as I might have some years ago, and I don't always get to just quiet myself for a long time. Usually it's like 10 minutes here, if I'm lucky. And so in terms of that kind of devotion, that is sporadic throughout the day. But I think in terms of giving my attention to God, that really comes through the times I'm teaching my kids. So I'm teaching them, but I'm also helping me reflect on who God is. So teaching them about why we try to be kind to each other, or when we're outside, look at the beautiful surroundings that God has given us. Aren't we so blessed to be in them? Isn't God big and awesome and powerful and in control? Those kinds of things.
So when you think of worship, I think worship is before the Lord and honoring before the Lord, but it results in change in us and those around us. So let's start with you first. What kind of change is there in you as a person of worship, and then ultimately as you would see that with those that you would influence?
I think that helping my attention, like by putting my attention on God, it helps me function from a place of grace. So I don't have my act together. The fruit of the spirit are not perfected in my life. But I think that my reliance and dependence on Jesus and the Holy Spirit in me helps me to function in that in a way that's meaningful to my kids, that teaches them about being all the things that the fruit of the spirit are. And I would say that that would overflow to their friends and their spheres of influence as well.
Now, you and Joel spent some time in India. It was a challenging place for sure to be a global worker. I'm interested in the cultural experience and how that affects your worship today and how it affected it then.
I think while I was in India, I became more of aware of the power of Jesus, who he really is, the freedom and hope that he brings. And the reason for that is because as a culture in India, they're predominantly Hindu, the small section, at least in our city, of Muslims. So most festivals, even eating habits, art, cultural experience is focused around idols and their worship to their gods. And so a lot of it can be superstitious. It's a lot about appeasing their gods so that they don't have ramifications that are negative in their lives. And so when I would see, you know, somebody giving their last cup of rice, not knowing how they can feed their family, and just doing that because they hope that they're not going to have their gods smite them, it reminded me of how gracious and generous and loving our Jesus is, and the freedom and hope that that can really bring. And, you know, a story comes to mind of this girl who we would visit sometimes in the brothels, and she had just a bed in her room and then this kind of shelf that lined the top of her room, and it had different idols on it and different artwork. And we would always say, like, if anything is wrong or you need help, please call us. We'll come and we'll pray with you. And their culture is very spiritual already. So we would come. And I remember one time someone in her family was ill. So she asked us to come, and we came and we prayed with her, and we would pray for miracles. You know, we would pray for them and just pray that God would do something visible and clear and obvious. And he did. And he was healing people in her family. And I remember her saying to us some time later, your God must be more powerful than ours. And that's true. Our God is the most powerful, and that certainly is what I want the people in our life, in our lives to experience.
Wow. Powerful words. in terms of centering our hearts and our thoughts in the right place for worship, which of course is essential. Last question for you, Brandy, and that is this: you're a mom, but you're also a minister, and so I know you've talked with many who would have been in that place of darkness, trying to find a way to lift their voice somehow before the Lord. You just can't find it. You know, that just it's just hard. That's just the truth for all of us at some point in time in our lives. So how do you navigate through that? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think over the years, Joel and I have walked through some really challenging seasons in our lives. And I think my best act of worship has been to be honest before God, to be honest about how I am disappointed at how circumstances are unfolding, how it's difficult to see brighter days, how I don't know how to have faith to believe that that he'll intervene in a way that feels good eventually. And I think that small amount that I have to give, which feels very minimal, is what God requires. That's all I can give. And I think God receives that, and that is my act of worship in those times.
Awesome. Let's hear for Brandy, everybody. Thanks, Brandy. We've hoped through this series really to broaden our perspective of worship and what does that look like. Often, as we've mentioned before, sometimes we see worship only as the music portion of a gathering that we have on a Sunday. But of course, worship is far more than that. Worship is what we do with our lives. Everything that we do before the Lord that is pleasing to the Lord, that calls others on to be encouraged in Jesus, anything that we do, small or large, is really worship before God. And the fact of the matter is that we are all made to worship. We were designed that way right from the very beginning. Remember, God, our Father, is sovereign, and he is the creator of all things, and he created us for relationship. And so there is within all of us this desire, this need to have relationship with God Almighty. And when we have that relationship with God Almighty, one of the things that we do through it is worship. It just naturally comes out of us, particularly when we recognize him for who he is, mighty and sovereign. He is the God of all ages, and so it calls us to this deeper place of worship. So worship is this whole life response, and so we want to be the worshipers that God has called us to be, and we look to his Spirit to bring that boldness to us and that life to us as we become more and more in love with who he is. So would you stand, everybody? I'd love to pray for us, and just believe God for who it is that he's called us to be. Father, we are reminded through story once again today of your incredible love for us. We are reminded that all of us are built differently. We are also reminded that for all of us, worship will take different forms and different avenues through different contexts at different times in our life. But you do call us to be a people of worship. We are made to worship. So, Lord, help us to navigate that well. Help us to figure it out. None of us have got it all figured out, and part of this journey on this planet is learning how to do that. We want to lift your name high. We want to give you all glory and only you, Lord. So help us to walk well in worship with you. And we give you thanks. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation. The Lord be with you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for being here today. Be sure to join us this coming Sunday as we move into seven songs and the Psalms over the summertime. Have a great rest of your Sunday.